KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Who is the Rangers player you think has the most to prove in spring training? 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation, Corey, I have a whole bunch of options, but can I tell you one more baseball hockey note?
Yes.
I know that was a confusing way of saying it. Skip Schumacher walked into the media room after the gold medal match yesterday, and he said the Rangers locker room was super locked in and said Teagues is not happy. Jordan Teagues, the pitching coach, is from Canada, and he had been wearing hockey sweaters all Olympics. Hey, they finished second.
Yeah, man, congratulations. Yeah. You earned a silver medal with the embarrassing loss to America.
Wow! Wouldn't you think they'd be pumped to have silver since no Canadian hockey player can get the silver from the Stanley Cup?
Oh, I like that. That's
well,
a good one.
They can if they play for an American team.
That's a good one right there, though, man. I really do like that.
All right, so I got a couple of notes for you, unfortunately. First, it is spring training, which means in addition to starting up for baseball, it is injury time. Rangers pitching prospect Winston Santos, he has a left hand fracture. He took a comebacker off of Kyle Higashioka in live batting practice. It's not his throwing hand, but he'll still be shut down for about 4 weeks. Then, perhaps more importantly for some, Cody Freeman. Cody Freeman has a fracture in his lower back. He'll be down for a minimum of 4 to 6 weeks before the Rangers evaluate. And so, before the Rangers even, like, probably reevaluate him, this season will have started. And, that's one of the people I was going to say. I think there are plenty of other options, but that's one of the people that I was going to say is I think there's a lot of pressure or a lot for Cody Freeman to show in spring training to grab a spot on this roster. And now, that's already one that's going to be different.
Yeah, no, that's really tough. I'm hoping that somebody can, because I thought this is a great opportunity for him to take that next step too, not just grab the a potential area, but to take that next step in his play. The excitement for him is already there. That's tough.
Agreed. Now, I'm gonna lock this one in as my answer. But as I said, I think there's a lot of viable options. To me, it's Kamar Rocker.
Ooh,
because it feels as though he has the inside track to break camp as the number five starter, right?
I mean, last season, Kevin, the Rangers, somebody in the Rangers organization pushed him to be in the rotation.
When he probably wasn't ready.
On the big league club, and he probably wasn't prepared for that yet. However, they said he's going to learn on company time. We're not going to go put him in the minor leagues. We're going to put him straight on this roster, and we're going to see what he's got. He went out there, and at times, there were things that he did that looked special.
Yeah.
And then there were things that you were like, you're supposed to know that, but you haven't played a lot of baseball, so I understand that. So I get where you're coming from on this. Yes, he has the inside track to it. He can earn it. He can win it during this spring training.
And I think you're going to like this quote from Jack Leiter.
It's still a lot of righties in your Eovaldi, okay, DeGrom, Leiter, Rocker. If you have four starting righties, I'd like to have two lefties if possible.
Do you think the Rangers will just buy their time until the end of May when Bradford will be back around?
Maybe there's options there, but I think the best thing to do, I know I'm sitting here saying I want the beautiful righty-lefty thing, but you want to put the best five pitchers out there no matter what.
No, you're so right. And I think you'll love this quote. This is from Jack Leiter talking about Rocker. I don't know what his mindset is in terms of something to prove or whatever it might be, but I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. It's going to be fun to watch because, yeah, I'd never bet against that guy.
Yeah, I like that.
I do, too.
I like that from his teammate, man.
And look, you look at, okay, and so we talked about this last week or the week before. You look at his overall stats, they don't look great with a 5.74 ERA. But we kind of broke apart some of those statistics. He made 14 starts. Four of them were just horrendous. But the other 10, you saw something with a sub-1.2 whip and an ERA around 3.2 that you're like, I get the potential, but I would love to see him pitch well in spring training, because he specifically looks like somebody who cannot take the time to just work on something.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe Evaldi can do that, DeGrom can do that or whatever. I need to see Rocker look good and be like, that's why he's the number five starter.
Well, Kevin, first outing, two innings pitched, two hits given up, one run, one earned run, one walk, two Ks. 4.5 ERA right now.
Okay. It's the, you know what honestly make me feel better is if we have some starts where maybe you don't feel as great about the hits, but you feel really good about the walks. I would love to see the walks under control.
I mean, and also, you know, when it comes to the hits, like, he only gave up two hits, one per inning. You know, how was he getting shelled? Were those two hits hard hits? Were they consecutive? Was it soft? They just happened to get on. Like those are the things we get to see when we get out to spring training. We head out there Sunday. We'll be out there all next week at spring training for you.
What about Josh Spores?
I have a list of five.
Oh!
Josh Spores is not on it, so if you want to talk about him a little more, that's fine.
Okay. All right. So since the beginning of last year, like we all know what he did in the playoff run, and that will never ever go away and will always be appreciated of that. Since the start of 2014, you know how many innings he's thrown?
Six.
16 and a third.
Feels like six.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, either
you
way.
You can even get to 16 and a half?
No, 16 and a third. That's not a thing, what you said. But 16 and a third innings pitched, and so is he going to be good to go? He says he feels good and good to go, and is he going to be able to bring what you're going to need to be part of this bullpen? Because I will still say it feels like there's plenty of opportunity to snag spots in the bullpen.
There are a lot of bullpen people who right now have had a brief moment where they looked amazing.
Yeah.
And then other moments where they were just like, they pitched also in baseball.
So, you know what? He's a great example of that already in Arizona. Maybe. But Carter Baumler as well, he had a perfect sixth inning in his debut, and that's great. But what are you going to look like the next time, the next time, the next time? Because there's spots to be had.
Yeah, for sure, man. Somebody said, what about Paul Skeens' game translates more than Jack or Kumar's, because they were every bit as electric as he was in college? He was still touching 100 miles an hour in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
And Jack Leiter, like, they were good. There's just a different presence that Paul Skeens commands when he's on the mound. Rocker definitely had that. The injury kind of set him back for a little while.
Here's the other thing.
Jack Leiter has needed to get over emotions.
Yes.
A little more.
And here's the other thing that I would go back to, just as fundamental as it gets when it comes to pitching. Since Paul Skeens has been in Major League Baseball, he has 55 starts. You know how many walks he has? 74. You know how many strikeouts he has? 386. So he has a more than 5-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio, whereas especially with Rocker, you weren't particularly close to that.
And I would say velocity is what translates first. So you got velocity. His pitch placement's amazing. And his absolute control of his fastball is one of the keys there. And Leiter struggled to control the fastball at times.
Yep.
And Rocker just needs that other pitch to be a little more dominant for him. And then again, when it comes to emotions, you see him in interviews with Livy Dunn. He has no emotions.
Man, that's for sure. Hey, you just won the World Series.
This is really nice.
That's good to hear.
I gotta go train now.
I'm excited.
I have to train more. All right, Kevin, would you like to hear my
top
five
list? Tell me my list. Your list.
Number five, Osuna. It's not live or die for him, but you got a chance to be in the big league club all year now.
Well, and you have an opportunity to maybe be a starter, depending on how things play out. So
yeah.
What do you got?
So Osuna's one of the guys that, like, here we are last year going into the season. We were excited during spring training.
He was one of the breakout guys,
dude,
right?
We were so pumped about that guy. And he's just a hustle. He's a tryhard. Love it. I love everything about it. Number four, Justin Foscue. I don't know what Justin Foscue's place is on this team. And if you need to go into a deeper dive on this, that's fine. But he can hit. The dude can hit the baseball. We know that. Hitting at this level, all right, we need a little more of it. But that's what keeps him around. Sometimes his defense still has no place. But we got this team needs hitters.
Yeah, man, look, we talked about this last year, and then I guess the year before. Obviously, he's had some rough goes in the big leagues. But it feels like when he goes to the minors, he usually hits well and earns the opportunity back up, as opposed to, I need somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
You. Up in here.
Yeah, and so I realize he has struggled in his big league attempts, but I still think that he has the potential to be able to help you out, especially at DH when you're probably looking for hitting.
Question marks there. Number three, Cole Winn.
For sure.
And it's not necessarily pressure or needs to prove. Like, I just want to see it carry over from what he was doing last year, because at the end of the year, we were like, he might actually be a usable piece.
You'd love to see a position right where Cole Winn is a leverage pitcher. Probably still one inning at a time, but you feel a high leverage and you feel good about
it. Yeah, like there were moments last year where I'm with you. I was like, let's do that again.
I'm with you.
Number two, this is dead serious. Evan Carter. Here's
why. I believe you.
Health. Make it through spring training healthy. Then get into the season healthy. Like all those things, and prove you can hit some left-handed pitching in spring training, because that's the only way. You're going to get, 60 opportunities maybe to go up against that. You need those. Every one of those opportunities against lefties, you need them as quickly as possible. And then number one, and also because Evan Carter, hitless. Number one is definitely Corey Seager, who has no hits so far in spring training, and I don't even know what we're doing right now. Like, come on. This is the best hitter on your team, and he can't even put one in play.
You know, I had a list of I had a list of maybe three people. I was like, I wonder, will he go with Teodo? Mm-hmm. Will he go Church? Could he possibly go Gavin Collier? I was not predicting that it would be Corey Seager. I even wondered maybe Sam Haggerty, but no, you really threw me.
He's the leader of the team, Kevin.
Yeah.
The whole goal is to put the ball in play.
Okay. Man.
And what's he done so far?
Even Alex sounds disappointed right there. I can't tell if he's disappointed in Corey Seager or you.
Evan Carter definitely is a legit serious thing. Him not putting the ball in play so far, different story. Or getting on base with hits. But health-wise, that's the most pressure for me for him, because I still have high hopes for Evan Carter.
Sure.
I know what he's capable of whenever he is playing. Whenever he's playing and he's in the box, dude, it terrorizes pitchers, because they're like, how do I get this guy out? How do I get him to swing?
Yeah.
How do I get him, like, he can be that kind of player that sets up the rest of your guys, because he just wore out a pitcher. And so then once he gets on base, he's electric there too. Him and Wyatt together in those, if they were able to be those first two spots at some point, God, that would be amazing.
Now, over the weekend, our buddy Sean McFarlane with the Dallas Morning News pointed out that Sam Haggerty and his surgically repaired ankle looked fine, and he went 3-for-3. Against two left-handed Cubs pitchers. I know what you're looking for. And by the way, just to go back around, as if you needed more of a reason to root for Josh Spores, when he talks about his arm feeling a lot better, this part is just so sad. He goes, it doesn't hurt. I can pick my kids up and I can put a plate away in the cabinet. Like, that's how bad it was.
But do you really want your wife to know that you can put that plate away?
You know what? I think that is one of the first people we should seek out now at spring training and be like, did you make a tactical error by saying that now you can put plates away? And I think he'll be amused by that.
That's my favorite chore.
Okay.
These other ones are the ones that I still can't do.
Okay.
I would be like, this guy gets it.
I think he'll be amused by that. I still think perhaps tomorrow, perhaps another day, we should pick up our
introduce him as Josh Spores world champion?
Yes.
Okay.
World Series hero, too. Absolutely. I still think that we should talk about Church and Teodo and even Gavin Collier as you try to put together your bullpen. Some injuries there as well. Maybe we'll pick that back up tomorrow. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day plus the Olympics. It just means more next on The Fan.
Alec, I know we have AM on the FM coming up, but can I ask you a different question first?
I'm scared.
All right, so The Athletic is going to be putting out their freak list just in terms of the unbelievable athleticism and stuff that you have from some of these college players, especially going into the combine. Some of those players include Myles Garrett, Saquon Barkley, but then when I see in 2022 it was Mozzie Smith and I just completely disregard the list, that's not fair, right?
He was an absolute athletic freak in college, and most of it came to the dude can jump and he's extremely strong. But that had nothing to do with his get off at the line.
So is it wrong that I discount this list now just because Mozzie Smith
there
is number one?
There are, like, Tetero McMillan was definitely on that list a year ago, too. And he turns out to be a really talented player. It's not, you can't just take this list and be like, he's going to be great. You got to take this and then watch the film.
You definitely cannot. Mm-hmm. All right, right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas.
Raisins.
877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, the Olympics just mean more.
Can I guess what your question of the day is?
Sure.
What is the most famous song from The Lion King? Did I get it?
What about this question? Why do I have to put a seatbelt on, but the garbage man can hang off the back of the truck?
That's a great question.
Oh, man, that is a good question.
That just confirms it. Garbage people, they are the law. I like it.
I imagine getting pulled over. I'm sorry, Alec. I was imagining, like, driving around and then a garbage truck's like, woo, woo, woo.
That would be terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already scared of getting pulled over. Just imagine if it was a garbage truck that pulled you over. I'd be like, yeah, I'm not moving an inch. I'm stopping in the middle of the road.
Let's get it. Have you ever seen the movie Men at Work with Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen where it feels like...
Oh, yeah.
It's not great. Yeah. I've seen it many, many times.
Yeah, I think it's one of those that ended up on TV, and I was like, there's nothing else to watch. Why not? But yeah, I strangely enough have.
Rotten Tomatoes got it at a 30%.
I would have gave it 35. You know,
yeah.
That I would have been a little bit nicer. Yeah. Just a little bit nicer. Just a little bit nicer.
Kind of like it.
The question of the day, gentlemen, is going to be focused on this today.
I'm sorry, Alec. The very first review I saw... Men at Work is patient zero for the plague of Charlie Sheen's movies that infected the 90s.
Jeez.
Damn!
I don't know. I kind of liked it.
I did too. All right. Now I'll be quiet, I promise.
Some of the critic reviews are amazing. Like, these people are so good at burning and roasting.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But today is National Banana Bread Day.
Oh.
It's National Banana Bread Day. So I ask, what is the food that you were late to the party on? 877-881-1053. I'm going to let you ponder that while we go over the rest of the national days, and I have a short anecdote to give as well, because there's a lot of random holidays today. It's also National Pasty Week, if that means anything to you.
Like on the boobies?
No.
What's
a pasty?
It's a savory recipe of British origin.
It's a pastry. Yeah.
No, it literally says pasty. P-A-S-T-Y.
I can think of three things that pasties are before that. And one of them is that little snack you used to have in school whenever you would take the paste and be like, I wonder if it tastes good.
Did you eat
paste?
Yeah.
Oh.
Once.
Okay.
I feel like we all have. At some point.
It was good.
Intentionally or not. Yeah.
Okay.
But it does say that it is a sweet and savory dish depending on the filling inside the short crust cover.
Oh.
It is the Cornish pasty. the original version. It is so popular that more than 120 million are made each year. So this is a real
what?
Thing. Yeah, it's just it's a British thing.
Okay.
But it is also Clean Monday. So go ahead, be clean, please.
Sure.
Today is also Curling is Cool Day.
Oh.
So shout out to the Olympics.
Again. Oh, okay, because today was back and biceps.
Ooh,
it
okay.
It was pull day, so.
And today was a push day for me.
I thought you were talking.
Man, when I tell you I had a great morning, Corey, I loaded up 205 on the bar.
Let's go.
For bench as a warm-up. I was just feeling it today. I don't know what it was. I'm feeling great today. I'm
nice.
Feeling amazing.
It's exciting.
It is also other holidays today. Today is also Diesel Engine Day.
Oh, nice.
So if you drive a dually or something
like
or
an
another.
Like East Dallas Diesel.
That's right. There you go.
That's right.
They got a ton of them out there and some great deals as well. And then today is also National Dog Biscuit Day. So go home and give your dog a treat after work today.
Yeah.
Just because. Why not? They deserve it. They're the best. Okay, guys, before we get back to the question of the day, I have to tell an amazing story. If we're going to shout out some sponsors here. This is amazing. This is not a flex. This is a funny story. Went on a first date on Friday, right?
Oh.
And
ever?
Yeah, ever. Totally. Never done it before.
That is a pure sun right there.
No,
a lie.
That's right. Yeah. I'm the most holy man at this station.
Eric. That could be true.
But, yeah, we met up for the first time. And, you know, whenever you do something like this as a job, you get peppered with questions and stuff. And who have you met? Who have you talked to? Blah, blah, blah. We got away from that part of the conversation. The moment that made her think I was the coolest person ever was when I mentioned something about the area over off of Division in Arlington where all the restaurants are and whatnot. And she says, oh, like where Hurtado Barbecue is.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah, exactly, that area. And she says, have you been there before? And I'm like, oh, have I been there? I've been there plenty of times, but we also are very close with Brandon Hurtado, the man who runs the place. And so she was like, oh, that's cool. So like you've like talked to him before? And I was like, he's a friend. And I showed his contact in my phone. That's when she was like, okay, you're famous.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not that famous. But after all the stories I told you, it took me knowing Brandon Hurtado for you to be like, yep. You're okay in my book.
Nice.
And I was like, you know what? That's how I know you're a pretty honest person and a pretty good person. Because all the Jerry Jones stories, all the Cowboys stories, Rangers stories, that's cool. You know Brandon Hurtado? Yes, I do. And I think that's my biggest flex now.
Love it.
Is there a second date then?
Yeah, later this week.
At Hurtado.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's actually
my idea. Which location? Arlington or Dallas?
Don't say what time or anything.
Yeah, I'm not saying what day or time, but I'm planning on the Arlington location. That's what I'm planning
on. Yeah, dude. I mean, listen, that's the OG right there.
You kind of want to stake it out a
little
bit.
Kind
of
do.
Yeah.
Just because of the food, mostly.
I'm going to go with the most random time now. Random day and time.
I mean, I know your work schedule, so.
Yeah, but, hey, maybe I go right when they open.
I also know how a clock works.
I'm proud of you.
I don't practice it very much here, but I know how it works.
I'm very proud of you, Corey. That's nice to know.
And so, that should be a drop.
Flex.
It's going to be. Anecdote over, question of the day. What is the food that you were late to the party on? I will open the floor to you guys.
A lot of good answers coming in on the fan text. And Kevin, I have two things. One is a food, one is a drink.
Ooh.
One, salt and vinegar chips. I did not know that as I've gotten older, I love salt and vinegar chips. Doesn't matter what kind. Baked Lays is kind of my go-to now. I just like the Baked Lay flavor. But salt and vinegar, and you can give me some kettle chips with salt and vinegar. I'm like, oh my gosh. Mm. Mouth right now is actually just, I'm starting to froth at the mouth thinking about salt and vinegar chips. So, because that's what it does. The bitterness kind of just gets you. So that's the food. The drink, though. And it's Avery's reasoning, kombucha. I've never really got into it, but Avery would come home with all these different flavors, and sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'll take some gut health today. And so I've found the flavors that I like. Mm-hmm. I got him a kombucha brewing kit so he can make his own. And I'm not lying, dude. Like I seek it out now more than I would do a Gatorade.
I cannot tell you the last new drink that like became a part of my rotation, but the food.
Baja Blast.
That's right.
Yeah, I just, it was a lot.
You got blasted.
The food.
In the Baja.
I thought we were done talking about your date.
Whoa.
So.
I'm
sorry.
Jeez.
Look, that's why I'm not good at this, because I'm just like, it's zero or 50 million. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I think it might be zucchini. Corey cooked zucchini on one of our spring training trips. And sometimes outside of broccoli, I struggle to find consistent vegetables I really like outside of broccoli. And I tried that. I was like, oh, this is taste neutral and not objectionable. Sold.
I like it. You know what? That's awesome. I need to start honestly working on some more vegetable-based recipes and stuff, because I noticed my diet, especially since I started meal prepping, is almost exclusively chicken, which is not a bad thing.
Okay.
But I'm like, you know, some color would be cool.
Here's
the food.
The combination. It's a combo. You can store it and reheat it anytime. Zucchini, squash, red bell pepper, and mushroom.
Ooh, that actually does
just
sound
put
good.
Those, now, I'd have to take the mushroom out because the wife didn't love it, but those right there, great combination. Like I said, you can cook it, keep it, reheat it. Works perfectly.
I feel like the bell pepper is one of the most underappreciated foods, if we're being totally honest.
You're right.
Nutritional value on top of its versatility.
I can eat it with some hummus. I can eat it with...
fancy.
I can dip it in some, you know, French onion dip. Which part's
Spanish
your favorite?
Artichoke.
Some Spanish artichoke dip. do you like the French, the onion, or the dip part the most, you think?
I hate all three of them.
This is ridiculous.
Oh.
This guy.
It's ridiculous that you asked that question.
I knew the answer. Somebody said...
Hold on. If you showed up in the studio
mm-hmm.
and I was just eating chips and dipping them in French onion dip, wouldn't you be like, something is wrong?
What? Kevin is concussed. This might be my first thought.
Yeah, that's fair.
Somebody said the michelada. You know, you've never had one. My friend found the best recipe, and he said, I went and looked on YouTube. This lady said, you'll never make another recipe again. And I was like, all right, let's make it right now. We made it, and I was like, I will never drink a different recipe than this one ever again. It's my favorite.
Going to have to pass that along to me.
I will.
Let's see, from the 3-2-1, shout-out to Kevin for hating the French.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Could have said the French.
I like their kissing. Not as much as Australia, but still.
I thought this is the guy that's against love. Maybe he is concussed. Maybe there is something
going
on.
Why do you like Australian kissing, Kevin?
It's down under.
That's the part where
I hold firm. That's your fault for challenging me on this. I hold firm that does not violate anything from the FCC.
Just, again, the metaphorical line.
Wow.
The metaphorical
this
line.
This guy.
I'm going to try to pivot from that. Of course he did.
He was just waiting to see if it would happen. He backed up and was like, I cannot wait to see if this actually, oh my gosh, it happened.
See, from the 972 Ranch Water, from the 217 Cold Coffee, big on that one too.
Cold coffee.
Yeah. Right. Iced coffee was a late discovery for me, maybe like senior year of high school. And I was like, this is actually better than hot coffee. Cool. From the 817 Yogurt Dipped Pretzels. That's a really strong one.
I could see that. Yeah.
That's a really strong one. I like that one as well. Another drink from the 817, the Hottie Toddy I was late on.
Mm-hmm.
Great to sip on, and it's great for a cold.
Yeah, it would fix your throat during the winter.
Hottie Toddy?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it, though.
Oh, does it have liquor in it?
It's got whiskey in it. Yeah. Lemon, some honey.
Yeah. I heard whiskey is helpful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I said the Olympics just mean more. And we actually talked about this off air a little bit. Mike Tirico. On NBC, after the U.S. men's hockey team's golden win, just let him take it away.
Because of a drought that almost lasted a half century, those teams are revered. They are held on to forever. And what happened today doesn't take away from the greatness of those teams or the meaning that those teams have in U.S. hockey. But what you saw today was the build of a generation, inspired perhaps by that team that lost in 2010 in Vancouver to the Sidney Crosby golden goal in overtime, or the team where TJ Oshie had all those shootout goals in 2014. That's when these guys were doing what you're doing, watching on TV, and they were young, and they were living the dream. So for all the young people out there, not just the hockey, but all the Olympics you've watched, those dreams are formed now. go chase them and go get them. Because our country loves sports, and it brings us together unlike anything else. And if you didn't know that, if you haven't been watching the last 2 weeks, you saw it in Team USA Hockey, winning the gold over their arch rival Canada here in Milan to wrap up these 25th Olympic Winter Games.
All I can say is Mike Tirico rules, and so do the Olympics, baby! Especially after a golden win.
Ah, I love it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Is Mendoza actually the best prospect in the draft? Plus, the competition committee is getting to what Corey really cares about. Next on The Fan.
Got to get to the 8th. He's going to take off and run. Mendoza weaves his way first and go diving toward the end zone. Touchdown! That's why he won the Heisman Trophy.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Powered by Men's Tea Clinic. What say we go around the entire NFL and dip it in some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and sip it.
Now let's start with some of the work being done today by Judy Batista. Judy Batista, a columnist for NFL.com. She spoke with Stephen Jones, who said that they will finalize the franchise tag for George Pickens in the next week. Quote, "We think the world of him. We want him here." We all knew that was going to happen. The follow-up is always concerning. Stephen Jones would not put a timeline on trying to get a deal done with Pickens after applying the tag. That makes sense. I would just love to freaking hear him be like, yeah, we're going to try to get it done before the start of free agency so we can be ready to go. But that's not really the way they operate.
Yeah, and you can have every plan laid out.
Sure.
And then the opposing side is like, hey,
that's fair.
We have our own plans right now, so why don't you all wait for a little bit?
That is fair.
And also when it comes to that, does it not feel like the things they've said about Pickens are different than the things they said about Micah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With Micah, I don't know. There just was something always uneasy about it. And it feels like they're like, no, look at what he did for our offense. Like, I feel like they really do want Pickens back.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I would just really love it if they were
30.6 per year.
Yeah. I mean, look.
That's what it's probably going to be.
I was super pumped when they were like, Pickens' team reveals demands for contracts. And I was like, oh, no. And it was like, yeah, it would need to be 30 million per year. I was like, great.
No less than 30
yeah,
million
great.
Per year.
Let's do that.
It could be asking for 34.
I doubt that. But, or else why would it be reported as no less than 30?
Because you start with 35. And you work your way to 32.
Okay. I mean, 32, look.
Unless the Cowboys are like, we're starting at 28. Let's meet in the middle.
And that does kind of seem like what we do. 32 seems logical. That's the same spot that McLaurin came in. And yeah. I think that's been kind of one of the templates. But let's get to what matters the most.
Let's do it.
Corey, Judy Batista is also reporting that the competition committee talked about uniforms today.
Really?
Or excuse me, yesterday. And you're not going to see the cutoff football pants that you saw in college football.
You're
it's
damn right.
Not going to happen in
you
the
are
NFL.
Damn right. I do wonder if players like David Bailey and such are going to be able to handle it.
Yeah, you need to factor that into their draft grade.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you not wear shorts out there on the field and be out there? So hold on, that's a good thing. This is actually a really positive thing.
No shorty shorts in the NFL. But interestingly enough,
keeps competition fair.
Schefter is reporting that also no team has offered a proposal to ban the tush push. And there have been no discussions thus far about changing the rule. I just figured they would because they were close last year and they're trying to whip up some votes and be like, come on, guys. But,
and then the Eagles started the season. It seemed like every drive they had 7 or 8 of them.
And then the Bills.
But then the Eagles kind of backed off of it a little bit. And they're like, look, watch, we threw a trick play in there.
Right.
And everybody was like, oh, hold on, you can do that? Yes, you can do all sorts of things. Kevin, I just think that they look at it and they say, let's get better at it. Why don't we do it? We can use it to our advantage. So we need to figure that out.
Who do you think the executives, coaches, scouts in the NFL said is the best prospect in this draft?
Fernando Mendoza.
Fernando Mendoza, out of the 10, only got one vote.
Ooh.
Also receiving one vote, Caleb Downs.
Reuben Bain.
0 votes. Jeremiah Love, 3 votes.
Did you
votes.
Say Caleb Downs?
Caleb Downs got one vote.
Oh.
Jeremiah Love, 3 votes, and the other 5 votes all went to Arvell Reese, who they believe is the best prospect in this class, regardless of position. Now, with the focus in on Fernando Mendoza, will the Raiders keep the number one pick and select Fernando Mendoza? Every single one of the voters said yes, they will keep the pick. The one exec from the AFC said, never say never, but I wouldn't count on that. And they all said that they're going to make the pick. An NFC executive said the roster for the Raiders is bad, but Mendoza is the best passer in the draft, and it's not close. You can't pass that up. He's accurate to all levels of the field with a good arm, plus size, and good character. Boom.
All he needs is a good team around him. That is the reality, is he can be as good as he can be.
Yeah.
He can be very, very good, but the team around him could set him up for failure for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So they do have to invest there too, but having your quarterback is an important factor.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we have a tough story to bring up, but we need to talk about it. Former Purdue and NFL wide receiver Rondale Moore, dead at the age of 25 over the weekend. I know there are investigations going along with this, but the police report early on says it is due to a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And then that doesn't even take into account ESPN put up the wrong picture of him during the tribute. They put up a picture of Miles Price in their tribute, and then Scott Van Pelt re-recorded the segment for subsequent re-airs, but it went out live. It was with the wrong picture of the wrong player. And I know normally we would make fun of that, but in a situation like that, not so much. 25 years old. He was a second round pick just 5 years ago, yeah, man, and dead at the age of 25. Just terrible.
I think you said it all.
Let's move from that to, you want a potentially more uplifting story, I'm assuming.
If that's where we're heading.
All right. What do you think about this? Myles Garrett has set a bold agenda. In his career, Myles Garrett has 125.5 sacks. The all-time leader is Bruce Smith with 200. All-time, keeping in mind that for the longest time, the NFL did not keep track of sacks. Myles Garrett said his goal is to not only break the record, he would like to take it down in the next 5 years. He is 30 years old right now, obviously back-to-back defensive player of the year, so he's firing on all cylinders, just set the all-time or the single-season sack record. Do you think he can average 15 sacks per season for the next 5 years and break Bruce Smith's vaunted record?
I do, actually.
I kind of do, too.
15 is a very feasible thing for him. I want to see him really break the all-time sack record.
Because you thought, for a minute, maybe we could get 26,
yeah,
or something?
I'd love to see that number get put into a place where you're just like, and the only way you're going to be able to defeat that number, like, I'd like to, maybe one more time, not this year necessarily, if in the next 5 years he's able to do that, that would put him in position to topple Bruce Smith's 200.
Yes.
And so, like, that would be amazing, not just, like, knock it back and be like, I got to 202. No, I'm talking, like, let's go to, like, 215, something like that.
Okay.
You know, that'd be really, really cool if something like that happened.
Man, and by the way, you look at the top of that chart is just absurd, because just 2 sacks behind Bruce Smith is Reggie White with 198.
Yeah, and then 30-something sacks later is Kevin Green.
Yeah, there is a huge gap there. And already you're seeing Myles Garrett. I believe he's tied for 20th. But within 5 years, he could have that record. If he stopped playing right now for some bizarre reason, Myles Garrett's already a Hall of Famer, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's
and unfortunately, he's kind of the Mike Trout version of Hall of Famer.
I could see that. The thing about both of them, though, is they both got to a point where the money was too much to stand by their principles of, I want to go elsewhere. I should say Myles Garrett. Mike Trout never seemed to insinuate that he wanted to go elsewhere. Myles Garrett's like, I'm not playing for this crappy team ever again.
Baseball on the West Coast?
Yeah.
All right, sounds good to me.
And then they're like, here's all of the money. And he goes, all right. You know what? You guys make a compelling argument. I will go ahead and sign. So I don't feel as bad for him not winning. I would love to see them win, but it feels like he made his choice, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, kind of want to see if you guys want to pivot here.
Pivot!
Since you mentioned West Coast baseball, the Angels owner made a shocking revelation. So we asked the question, how much do fans care about winning as part of their baseball or in-park experience? Next, right here on The Fan.